And our batting order, we're down to number four. Our fourth guest, educated at Beaufort School in Gloucester, also learned his rugby at Longlevens as well. Made his debut in 1988, captain 1994-5. He's a barbarian. And of course, he also transcends the amateur and professional era. Ladies and gentlemen, Andy Deacon.
Deeks, yeah. First of all, how does it feel to be back in front of an audience at King's Home?
It's okay. Yeah, like I say, everyone said it before about the atmosphere or the supporters at King's Home are second to none. And sort of like, you know, you can say with the turnout tonight sort of thing, the appetite for the supporters is brilliant.
How much do you miss it?
I don't miss it at all, really, that short, you know, because I have such a long go at it sort of thing, and I was really proud of what I'd done and stuff like that. Then, you know, I've sort of fulfilled everything sort of I wanted to do in a Gloucester shirt. So, and I was really lucky, like, you know, through that I could do that.
It's Cinderford now. Are the bones starting to creak a bit? You seem to be doing a bit more coaching than you are playing at the moment. What's good? How are you feeling, and how are you enjoying your rugby?
I'm only coaching because Glenners don't pick me. We get to the actual selection on Tuesday, and I'm always late. He gets there early, it's sort of about 6 o'clock. By 10 past, the front row's always done. So I get there 4:15, and we all talk about everyone else by the front row. And then I said, what's happening with the front row this week? And he says, it's done. I said, who's playing? He says, you went. I said, hang on. I said, hang on, who's that then? Who's that? I said, I've played a million times for Gloucester and all the rest of it. I've done it all in, you know, I should be playing. He said, you're too old. And you drink too much and you're overweight. Apart from that, you're all right. So we have a bit of banter in selection sort of thing. So, but like I say, I'm still having a go at Cinderford. I enjoy it, and why not?
You mentioned you drink too much. Of course, your life started out with alcohol, didn't it? Combining rugby and alcohol as a drayman at Whitbread.
Yeah. You got to watch what you say. This is going out on the radio and our mum's listening, I'll tell you.
Sorry, mum.
Exactly. So, yeah.
It's a shandy, mum, don't worry.
So, like I say, Alan said about his job and Bert said about his job sort of thing, and it was the same deal with me sort of thing, and I was real fortunate that the MD at Whitbread's at the time sort of thing was, again, he was a Welshman, and he's made up with rugby, stuff like that, and he's really proud his punch sort of thing that, you know, that I was representing in Gloucester sort of thing, but... like I say, I always remember it. It's like on a Wednesday afternoon. It was a wet Wednesday afternoon. I got on my bike and sort of like I rode to King's Home, and Richard Hill sort of like called me in, and he sort of, it was just totally out the blue. And he sort of like, you know, he said, "How do you fancy going professional? And I'm only going to sign you for a year because you're sort of like, you know." And I said, "Yeah, brilliant." And then I sort of like then I sort of like rode back to Whitbread's and. Sort of like basically resigned there and then, and sort of like, and you know, and he was the MD at the time. He was the most supportive guy in the world to me, sort of thing, you know. And he sponsored me all the way through it, and you know, the rest is history, as they say.
The rest is history, and rugby's moved on a long way since then. You were kind of there, as we've said, through that transitional period. At what point did you think this is professional rugby? This I've noticed a big difference now to the rugby I was playing a few years ago.
Well, you had to do 3,000 metres in under 12 and a half minutes or something like that. So. And you had Phil Vickery and Trevor Woodward run into you every day at training sort of thing. So, and you knew you sort of like, you know, the professional era had come because all these sort of like stars from all over the world came to sort of play for Gloucester, and so like half of them lived in my house as well. So the reason I haven't got no money because Vic's lodged in my house for like the last 10 years. So... And that's where he's got all the money, actually. And yeah, obviously I should have played for England in front of Phil Vickery, you know, but I never. But yeah, like I say, it was like a massive change in sort of like the club. And everyone said, like, you know, most of the people on the panel tonight, sort of like a Gloucester people apart from Vicks, but obviously he's sort of the adopted son, you know, from Cornwall. But it was a case of, you know, we really sort of like, we're playing a bit of catch-up in the early days of professionalism, which was, you know, which how it was. But, you know, we sort of like, I think we're catched up pretty well now.
Phil, of course, has huge respect for you. I know he probably doesn't tell you often enough, but he has huge respect for you as a player and as a fella. Who did you come here and aspire to be like? Who were your kind of heroes?
I was sort of, I remember when I was like ball boy and stuff like that here, you know, and when I was sort of like 9 and 10 and stuff like that. And but I was just, I always remember sort of like, I got to about 14 and I was sort of like over the clock end over there. And I thought, yeah, I wouldn't mind having a go at that, doing it myself. And but it was sort of like, sort of like probably the rest of my whole life sort of thing. Nothing was planned and sort of thing. So it just happened. And I've sort of really worked hard, obviously. You know, you look at Vicks, you look at Trevor Woodman, those sort of people, they had the physical attributes, you know, natural, you know, and it was all natural. I was sort of, like Alan said about the weight and stuff like that, I was sort of, I really struggled to be 17 stone and all the way through it. Like, I was,
should have come around my house, I'd have sorted you out.
Well, it's slightly different now, but at the time, but, and, you know, I went always, I was always too small. You look at Blakers, you look at Burton, the traditional, you know, and I was sort of, you know, and I was always a bit small on... at the time, and then I've sort of like, you know, as it went through the professional era, I signed sort of like, you know, professional contract, and then it was sort of like 18 months to sign a professional contract. I was the best part of 2 stone heavier than I was, and you know, it wasn't all due to lager. Well, some of it was, to be fair.
And you played under some different coaches here at Gloucester as well. Who was the best coach that you've worked under, do you think, or the one that kind of inspired you the most and got the best out of you?
I don't know, they all had their sort of, you know, moments, really. Like, you know, Sandro Andre, he was quirky, he got people in to talk English. And then there was other people that was sort of like, they sort of like Richard Hill, like, you know, he was, probably Richard Hill was my favourite, like, you know, because he was sort of like, you know, he always looked at me and he'd sort of ring me and he'd say, what do you think, what do the boys think, and stuff like that, because I was older at the time and stuff like that, and, you know, what do they think of what we're doing and stuff like that, and... Yeah, so I say Richard Hill, like, you know, he's very much like me. He was workmanlike, you know. He's probably wasn't the best, but he sort of just had a go, and he's brave, and he was proud to be where he was.
In the history of Gloucester Rugby Club, one of the things, of course, we'll always remember for is the last Twickenham win, 2003. Jake Bower invited you to go up and collect the Power Gen Cup. Was that an unexpected moment, or had he given you a tip of the wink beforehand?
No, it was totally spontaneous, like, you know, and, you know, apart from sort of like my kids being born, that's the proudest day of my life. I was at the end of the queue next to him, and he said, do you fancy a big man? And he just go like that. He said, well, it's yours. He said, you deserve as much as anyone else. And, you know, apart from, like, you know, everybody crying their eyes out, you know. And then sort of, you know, I went up and, you know, honestly picked it up. And, you know, come round my house, and it's full of me lifting that cup up there, sort of thing. But, yeah, and it's sort of, but like, you know, like you say, like, you know, like there's a lot of people in this rugby club associated with this rugby club that didn't win nothing, and I went a very, very long time, and like Butt said about stuff that he done, all the people that he played with, they was, you know when at the time Gloucester was at the forefront of English rugby. Well, they've always been the forefront, but you know, at that time that we went through a transitional period from amateur, the end of amateur to the beginning of professionalism, and sometimes we sort of like struggled. And, you know, I was captain in that time, at the end of the amateur, at the beginning of the professionalism, and it was sometimes very difficult. And, like, to come all the way through with that, and at the end of it, sort of like to be in a winning destiny like they are at the moment sort of thing, you know, then it was a nice place to be.
And Gloucester is still in there with a shout of that Premiership title again. It's eluded them. You've been part of that. You know what it's all about. What advice would you give to the current crop of Gloucester players going into the running now?
I'd say relax, have a few beers, and don't train so much. And when you get out there, do it and do it well. And you know what I mean. So it's easy peasy, isn't it? You know what I mean. I can't see the problem myself, but it's all joking apart. It's a case of that. They just can't get, they get over, like Glenner said, it was, you know, once they won one, they'd be flying. And they've just got to win the big one. And once they get over that, then they'll be away, I think. And, you know, the place is spectacular. It's, you know, it's one of the best theatres in English rugby to play. You know, in everyone, you look at everyone, you go to New Zealand, you talk to people, or, you know, Aussie, whatever it is, you know, they know Gloucester and they know what we're all about. And what a great tradition. I was, like, you know, lucky enough to sort of like go out and watch Gloucester a few times in Europe, and, you know what I mean, and everyone in France and stuff like that, they know about Gloucester, and what a fantastic, you know, club they are, and what, you know, what a fantastic support base they got. So if you're a player, why not? Why wouldn't we want to play at this club? Like, you know what I mean? And the fact that, you know, they don't wear a Raging Bull kit, it's a different one. But we're going to go.
Everybody knows Gloucester, and everybody knows Andy Deacon. Thank you so much for joining us, Andy.
Thank you, Werner.